Let's talk about cowboy action shooting all night, every night. Ooh. Have you ever grabbed one of these lever actions off the wall and just cocked it and got ready to go? Woo! Lever action!
Where's your double barrel at?
I know. You know what? I really do need a double barrel. I'm not lying.
Well, if you're going to do cowboy action, you 100% need a double barrel.
Yeah.
And you need to get your good old single action as well, you know?
I know. Yeah, I need a single action. I was looking at these Taylor Firearms single action. So anybody knows these Taylor Firearms out there, hey, you know, I could use a single action. Hey, if it's not free, it's not me. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. No, but tonight we're on a more serious topic. We're going to be talking about training, preparing for training, planning for training, and everything else. And that training could also include, if you're going to be doing some cowboy action shooting, you can't go to the cowboy action shooting if you just have a lever action. You probably use a double barrel action and a single action. But hey, welcome back to Romeo Charlie Reality Check with my awesome co-hosts. We have Rick Hogg from Warhawk Tactical and Mark Kelly from Kelly Defense. What's going on, gentlemen?
Doing good, man.
Another super excited episode, and can't wait to see where this one all unravels and goes.
The response, by the way, to the Romeo Charlie show has been great. Appreciate everybody tuning in and everybody giving us your comments and feedback. It's been a lot of fun. A lot of good information, a lot of good guests. It's been good.
Yeah.
You know, it was all about that. Once you guys mentioned Desert Storm and Desert Shield, boom!
Forget about it.
History right there, man. History. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk. So Jason's a big competition shooter now. Saw your stuff on IG.
Mm-hmm. It's fun, man.
It looks like a lot of fun. Looks like you're getting after it. Looks like everybody was getting after it.
Yeah. I mean, I was pleasantly surprised on the reception going there. Because, you know, you never know what you're going to run into. In this world of firearms and firearm shooting, you never know if you're going to get like the asshole.
Well, okay. Pearl. So you're going to have, I mean, here's the thing. You'll run into those out there, but they're the minority. For the most part, most guys, because they're all kind of shooting together, and it's like, hey, who's the new kid rolling up in here? You know, do some quick introductions. Hey, you're new to the game. Cool. Let me give you some tidbits. Here's what's up. Yada, yada. I mean, hopefully that was your...
It was
your response,
I think it's going to be a little bit different because you see, I went to a range about an hour away in Maryland and, let's jump right into training. So figure about a month ago when I started this health kick, I shouldn't even call it health kick. When I turned into let's Jason survive past 50, I started shooting a lot more. I started being like, you know what? One of my bucket list things, it's not even a bucket list, was shooting competitively. So I signed up for a USPSA match. And then I went to the range and I zeroed in my red dot and I put a couple hundred rounds down. I just started getting used to shooting for competition rather than shooting for tactics. So one of the things is before I went to the range, I kind of said, okay, I need to do my research. I'm going to be shooting USPSA, which is US Pistol Shooting Association. I said, okay, I need to understand what am I going to be shooting? What are these stages? It's going to be a lot different than tactical shooting. And so right before I went to the range, I got everything laid out. I brought little paper plates with me, little sticky cards and everything. And I tried to learn how to shoot to their little parameters, which is a lot different than shooting full tactical. So, yeah, I did that. And I was pleasantly surprised when I got to the range over the weekend. Everybody was very welcoming. And they're like, hey, first time here. Here's what we're doing. A little bit different than IDPA. But, hey, this is how we're doing it. If you want to help set up the range, you can learn how it goes. And, hey, by the way, $25. So it's not a killer price tag, but you're also getting a lot out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the thing is, you know, depending what your goal is, I mean, you can just go there and just go to shoot the match for you, or you can sit there and go, hey, I want to try to get ranked in this sport if that's, you know, so your desire. And then you've got to start figuring out or digging a little deeper. What do I actually want to get ranked in? Cause there's numerous different disciplines in there.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I mean, they're pretty wide open as far as, you know, parameters and what you can do and can't do. But to me, my thing, Jason, was when I first started, it was how to make myself a better shooter and put yourself in situations where you may not see in a regular training event, or you can't set up potentially at your range. And then the other thing is that I like with USPSA is, you know, if you are opting to get ranked in the sport, you know, they've got their standards in there and you can actually shoot these standards and it gives you some tangibles. So like we talked about before, how do we know if we're getting better at what we're doing? So you could do something like go hit USPSA, you know, look up their standards. It lays out exactly how the course is set up and they're not super hard or difficult. And then boom, get yourself the pro time and run it and go, all right, hey, this month it, oh, time. And granted, I wouldn't look at doing the whole factor thing. I would just look at, hey, what's my time and my hits? You try to do the higher math with your hit factor and don't have computer power, you might have some dramas, but it'll still give you a tangible to go, okay, cool. Where am I hitting? What's my time? And am I improving or whatever the case may be? So good on you, man.
That's my goal for the next one. Is like, I didn't even care about hit factors or anything this time. But I wanted to see where I was at. So now I got a good baseline. Mm-hmm. I know how to train for the next one.
Yeah.
And then if you think about it, it also gives you a takeaway where you know the course of fire and it nothing else will give you, depending on how they break down their score, it should give you your raw time and then kind of what your hits were. So even at that point, it gives you – I mean, there's data that you're pulling from just going to a match.
Yeah.
The cool thing about it was –
Speaking of data – go ahead.
I was going to say one last thing as you guys will both enjoy this one. I think it's our infantry background, but everything I do, it has to pour rain. So it's pouring rain over the weekend. So that was even a good start, but it was fun. It was fun. Go ahead, Mark.
I was just going to make a comment on those tangibles like Rick was talking about and how important those are. Rick's always talking about the Warhog eval. And it's basically just a cold drill. And gives you, and you shoot it the same every time. And you take away, and you document it. We're going to talk about documenting the stuff, but it gives you those tangibles that you can take back with you. That next time you can compare it to whatever the next time you go shooting and you shoot that cold drill. And it's a good thing to start with. And those tangibles with the match that you shot, like you said, it gives you a baseline. And I think one of the big topics we're going to talk about is having a plan. And those tangibles are really everything when it comes to having a plan when you go to the range. So you're not wasting time. You're being efficient in your training.
You're muted.
Professional podcast. Professional podcast of Jason Piccolo.
But let me jam this in real quick since we had no clue what you're saying, Jason. I want to add this point in. The other good things about the matches that you brought up was shooting in weather conditions, right? Especially the rain.
Right.
So again, if you're out there running a dot, especially if you have a open emitter system, you might find you've got a fail point in there to go, oh, where did my dot go? So again, if you're not one of these that, I hate to use the word fair weather shooter, but if you wait for the optimum conditions to go out and shoot, you know, and you're not going out there in all weather conditions to really go, hey, what's my kit doing? You'll never know. But a match, man, I just paid $25. You know what? I'm going to go shoot this thing.
I'm going for the bling. Yeah.
That's it, man. I'm slipping, falling in the mud. And
I didn't even care. At that point, you know, I got a range bag years ago as a present, and it had this cool little zipper thing, and it zips over. I could everything stay dry. I had a little rag. Mm-hmm. But one thing I did learn was when you're running one of these optics is to bring a wipe for your optic or something to cover it while you're waiting. Because you know what happens when it's in a holster?
Fills with water.
So, you know, one thing I was saying while I was muted was probably one of the most profound things I've ever said before. But no, it was this. Let's start with the basics. You are a brand new shooter and you've got your gun. You got 50 rounds of ammunition. You got some hearing protection. Kind of sucks, but you know what? It's usable. And you got some eyes and you're like, okay, I want to train now. So you have a couple options. You can go to the range and you could just put holes all over the paper, or you could actually plan ahead of time and maybe with some dry fire and stuff before you even leave the door. So what are your guys' thoughts on like the basic training platform?
So I would tell you this, if it were me, I would make sure that I get make ready with Warhog Tactical and look at our video series, instructional video series we've done with Pantheo Productions. Because it lays it out all right there. Granted, yes, you can do it. Thank you, Jason. You go to warhog.com and check that out. Or you can do, here's a shameless plug, you can use code WARHOG30 and save you 30% on an annual subscription over at Panteo, which opens up the volume to all the different instructors out there. But to me, it's, if you're going to do that, right, if you can't get to a training class beforehand and you just want to put hands on your firearm, dude, check out my instructional video. Check out anybody's instructional video, right? Do something to kind of get a foundation there to start. And then if we're talking brand new, never done anything, do that magical search for that NRA instructor in your area that's going to hopefully lay down a good foundation for some firearm safety and just how to properly firearm, how to disassemble clean, whatever. You know, it just depends where you're at on this journey of having your firearm. But that would be kind of my first steps.
Yeah, definitely the safety piece. We've talked about it before, especially if you're really, you're truly brand new to handling and shooting firearms. You got to have that foundation of safety. You have to have that. Because once you have that, you know how to be safe, you're going to be confident. And if you're confident, you're going to go train. If you're not feeling confident about your safety and your handling and what you're doing just to get the gun up and running and get it safe again, you're going to struggle with everything else because that's all you're going to be thinking about. So look that up. You know, Rick and I also have that series, OTR training on demand. If you go to our website, you just click that. There's a big piece on dry fire. There's a piece on zeroing red dots and all kinds of stuff. And like Rick said, the Panteo video that he did is good for all skill levels. But you definitely have to get some initial safety training and then you have to go out and train. But again, if you're not confident about being safe, you're not going to go to the range.
Okay. Now let's say we're beyond basics. You know how to put holes in targets. You're an LEO, you're military. You know, you've had some sort of training. Now you want to get more advanced training and you want to plan. What are the fundamentals that you want to plan? Now, let's say you want to protect your house. So do you want to learn how to shoot in low light? Do you want to learn how to shoot shotgun, M4, AR-15? What do you want to do next? So that's the other thing you have to plan, is plan on a parameter that you want to shoot around that you could train to.
Mm-hmm. And all that, Jason, comes down, you've got to put pen to paper, in my opinion, right? So It's almost that brainstorming where you're going to go, okay, cool. If I'm quote unquote an armed professional and I'm carrying a handgun for a living, then obviously that needs to be my number one focus. If you're going to shift gears and go, all right, hey, I'm looking to defend my house. Yes, there's other tools or platforms out there, but you got to look at, hey, shotgun, AR, stuff like that. That requires two hands at times. Let's think about this. If I have to go retrieve children out of my house, do I want to have both hands occupied? Because maybe that infant can't, I have to physically pick them up to move them to somewhere to safety. And then, if I'm doing that, how am I incorporating that into my training? Am I using something like a brute force bag that weighs, 20, 30, 40 pounds, however, weight of your child, and actually holding that thing in a way and still working firearms manipulation? So you've opened up kind of Pandora's box, but people, I don't think they're thinking that deep into the weeds. It's no different. Hey, if you're carrying a handgun for self-defense, cool. How many times you're actually practicing drawing that thing from concealment while carrying two hands of Walmart bags or pushing a trolley or doing something, right? Have you thought about, all right, hey, I got bags in one hand and I got little Johnny's hand in the other. How am I working this piece out if I have to defend myself?
Well, you talk about valid points, and these are things you could do without ammo. These are things 100%. You could do in your home. When you're talking about training, mm-hmm. It's not always about spending money. Before I went to think about it this way, USPSA. The thing I did before I even got to the range was I got a new holster. I had to figure out how to shoot, and I got a new gun. Not every gun is created exactly the same. So I wanted to be able to get the grip down and get everything. So hundreds and hundreds of dry fire, hundreds and hundreds of mag changes just to get to the range before I put holes in paper. Mm-hmm. Now, when you bring up those practical points about defending your house, are you going to practice with a gun with a light on it, one handgun, and your other, and bringing up that tactical bag from, what's your tactical bag company where you could put all the weight in it and you can get a cool coupon code? But practice like that. Brute force. There you go.
Yeah, brute force.
And you could practice. That is a damn good idea. Mm-hmm. And you could use those principles for anything. You know?
Yeah. And you don't have to feel, you don't have to say, oh, that's crazy. Why would I do that? Look, we do that in our training with the canine officers, simulating having their canine partner with them. These are things that we do. And when we're telling people to do that, like that is a super great point that Rick was talking about with tying up both your hands when you're defending. Everybody's always talking about what's the best. Oh, the shotgun's the best. Well, maybe it is. Maybe it is. But those other things that you need to consider are you have others there. It might be dark. You may be having something, a light. You may be opening doors and all that kind of things. If you're not doing that stuff all the time, maybe focus on just one. To me, I would just focus on the one that you're going to be carrying all the time, and that's going to be a handgun. I would start there and really start working that piece. You're going to take it with you, carrying concealed, and you're going to have it at your house. Once you've mastered that, or you're comfortable enough to where you think you can move on to other platforms or explore other platforms, well then, yeah, go ahead. But let's really concentrate on one and work it out.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. You know, training doesn't always have to be about shooting things to stop them, like shooting other individuals that are causing you harm. You could train to have fun. We were talking about before about doing this cowboy lever action stuff. You could have a lot of fun with firearms. You could train and have a lot of fun. It doesn't always have to be that guy that's yelling at you at the range going, you know what, you're an asshole and I do it like this way and I got the dope and all this other shit. You can have fun with this. But
Jason, it you should, right? Regardless what you're doing, if you're going to the range not having fun, because again, if I could tell you the number of times me and Mark tell them cats, hey, turn them frowns upside down, right? So you dig in their ass a little bit because you're trying to drive a point home and everyone's like, boo-boo lip. Mm. It's like, dude, we're having fun, right? It's not you should, or if you are, however you phrase it, right? You should go to the range. Anytime you're shooting your fire, it should be an enjoyable time, right? Cool, man. Yeah. Hey, we're having fun. And if it's not, do some self-assessment. What am I doing where it's not fun? So
if you truly want to teach it, or have it as a skill and you're going to go to the range, think about a book or some way to, I call this the book too, is some way to keep track of what you want to do. Have that plan before you get there. Yep. We all have the books, two books. And that's the thing is like, when you get there, you have a plan. You can shoot rounds all day long when you're done, but go there, have a little focus, go there, do your focus, whether it's going to be, okay, my goal is to practice my draw and fire. And my next goal is to practice 2-2-2-2. You know, have a goal before you get there so that ammo that is very precious nowadays, you get a good use out of it. And if you want to fling rounds later on, no problem.
Yeah. No, 100%. Have your – and here's the thing. You don't have to have a boatload of ammo to go do a range session. Literally, if you've got a box of ammo and you plan out those 50 rounds, trust me, you can knock yourself out of the park. But what you're doing is you've put the time in beforehand where you've done your dry fire training. Now we're just going out there to confirm marksmanship and recoil mitigation, and boom, go from there. I mean, I can sit here and practice all day long. If you want to say shooting 25 meter bulls, right? Slow, precision, accurate fire. I can, and I can sit there and go 100 every time. Now you go to the range. Whew, now we got, you've actually got to sit there and make it happen and bust those shots. Sometimes you got some atmospheric things beyond your control. Things happen, right? But that's what you want to do is get out there and go, cool, I'm just confirming what I'm doing here and making sure that marksmanship is actually there when I'm firing projectiles.
You know, outside of the training aspect, think about your physicality. And like, all of us are jumping into this. I shouldn't even say jumping into it. We're getting into that healthy phase of our lives. Oh,
you make it like sound like it's a new thing.
It is. It's just because we've been doing it for 30 something years now. It's like,
okay, just checking.
Just making it fun now. But think about when you're training. It's not just training. you know, your pistol, your rifle, your everything else. Figure out what else is in your training plan. What's in your training package to kind of make you be able to stop that force? Can you carry your kid out of the house? Can you carry your spouse out of the house? Can you carry your dog out of the house? Start thinking about your physicality as well and putting that into your training plan, whether that's walking mm-hmm. around a block in the morning, doing a couple push-ups, anything.
Yeah, and I mean, with that, look at what type of tools you have to work your hands. Do you have a Bob? Do you have a Mr. Heavy? Do you have, I know Mark's got a speed bag there or an agility bag. You know, do you have that kind of stuff? Where, cool, it's great to go out there and do back and buys and get your swell on, but are we actually trying to work on our hand skills as well? And then if you're a blade dude, are you working blade skills? I mean, this thing of training, you can open up Pandora's box and do all kinds of stuff because you can sit there and go, cool, I'm working firearms, hands, knives, all this other stuff. What are you doing in your vehicle? Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to open that Pandora's box, but
how about this for training? Let's go back to premise number one is planning. You said you open up the Pandora's box, which is true. And you can keep going down rabbit holes. We've all mm-hmm. gone down these rabbit holes. We're about to go down one right now. But if you plan out your week or plan out your month, plan out your day about what mm-hmm. you're going to train on that day. So this morning I go for a bike ride. I come back. Bob's out there waiting for me. I know I'm going to do a round, beat Bob's ass. And then I'm going to go in and I'm going to eat. That's part of my plan. And then later on in the day, I'm going to do some dry fire. And I know I have to do dry fire between these 2 hours or I'm not going to do it because mm-hmm. something else will come up. So make sure you have time mitigation in there as well. You figure out when you're going to do it and do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a huge point. Like I know Rick and I use the little whiteboards and we have, you know, a week and then we have an individual day board and we kind of chop those tasks up on the individual day. But that broad stroke initially Sunday, hey, what am I going to do this week? And, you know, we put everything in there. We got a show, you know, Mark and I got a show or Rick and I got a show. And then we got the Romeo Charlie. And then I'm going to try to get my workout in and then stick to it. That's the thing. You got to stick to it. But eventually, I think when you write those things down, for me anyway, when I have a plan and I write it down, it's a hell of a lot easier for me to stick to it. Now, is something going to pop up and the kids need to do something and it'll kind of interrupt it a little bit? Yeah. Then you put it on the back end on that same day. You don't wait till tomorrow. But it's important. And just like what Rick and Jason, what you were saying, you know, can you carry your dog out? Can you carry yourself out? Can you get yourself out of danger? You know, your life is worth it too. And just staying healthy and being able to, you know, bear crawl. If you got smoke in the room, you can't see, but you get down and just being able to crawl up and down the steps, whatever. Being able to save yourself is just as important and stay healthy. Mm-hmm.
And with that, Mark, right? So I'm going to do, I'm not going to bash you, you know, if you go to a public gym, but a public gym cuts some things that you can't do. So here's the thing. I can go get my workout in and I can combine it with my dry fire if I want. And sometimes I do, or sometimes I do my airsoft in there, you know, as well. So sit there and, you know, I've got to be careful, right? So if I'm out front throwing sandbags around, I'm probably not going to be strapped. Neighbors be like, hey man, what's he out there in his Ranger panties freaking strapped with his blaster on? Like,
There's Rick again.
What's Fruit Loop doing?
Old man Hog out there being crazy.
You know, but my point,
damn, Rick Hogg's out there again.
I try to be courteous to my neighbors, you know? So, but anyway, can you incorporate that in? So now, you know, we always talk about doing physical dress stuff. Okay, cool. You don't have to break it down where you're just doing, all right, I'm going to do my workout and then I'm going to wait and then I'm going to go do my dry fire. You can combine tasks in there, providing you've got a facility to do it. And believe it or not, there's some guys out there and you'll have to go search them out, but there's some gyms that are starting to do things like that. I don't think they're allowing per se live firearms to come in at current junction, but they're doing blue guns and airsoft and stuff like that. But that to me, that's what you want to do. Now we're combining everything into one. Man, I just got to annotate. Cool. What am I doing? So, hey, let's do some pull-ups. And while we're pulling up one hand, we'll draw from the holster and do some dry fire in there. Why not? You know, well, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you? You know,
I mean, why not? It's like,
right.
Sure.
Is it fun?
Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, just like with Jason carrying around, you know, his plate carriers and his backpacks, and then Rick out there and I with the brute force bags, you know, bear hugging like you're carrying a loved one or whatever, and maybe doing a one arm drag or carry with, you know, your free hand, you know what I mean? Just those kind of things. It adds a little bit of fun. You know, people might look at you a little strange at the park. I get crazy looks all the time, but people are looking, hey, what he's doing, you know, why is he doing that? But I like going to the regular gyms too. You know, being out with my people, you know what I mean? Hanging out with folks, getting out there amongst everybody. But at the same time, that training for the fight and training for some kind of functional fitness that you can save yourself. I think the bear crawl and the, what do they call it when you carry that bag? The, burden carries, you know, different ways of carrying the bags and having a backpack. Those are huge. Cause you talk about a game changer. Those brute force bags are soul crushers.
Wreck you.
Just simple tasks. Yeah, they'll break
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find out how unfit you really are when you initially start working with burden carries and backpacks and walking with them.
Mm-hmm. Just got to start working it.
Just That's it, man. Working it. Yeah.
Just work. Get used to it. Get training.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to hammer this down hard, is that you have to plan the training to get it right. And that looks long-term as well.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't want to do it on your own. Maybe you want to do it with a buddy. Find someone who's going to stick with you, because you don't want to have to rely on that guy who's like, hey, you know, it's you set your alarm for 6. You're supposed to meet them there at 6. And they're like, where are they? And you're ready to go. Mm-hmm. So make sure your reliable battle buddy is ready to go at 6. And also, the other thing I want to talk about is finding training. And we've talked about this before, about vetting your instructors and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Start slow. Figure out what's going on. It's the same. I'm going to bring up this USPSA a lot because I didn't know what to expect, and you can't find a lot of reviews out there. Maybe find someone who went to those courses, talk to them, and find out exactly what you should expect as much as they could provide you. But yeah, that's the thing too, is plan your training accordingly to your budget and get it.
So I think, Jason, don't quote me on it. I thought Panteo had something. Again, I didn't do it, so I that's why I say don't quote me on it. I thought Panteo had something. I think Keith Garcia did one intro to like 3-gun, but I don't know if there's another one intro to USPSA or something like that. I'm sure if you do some looking, you can. But the good thing, the good thing with any of those, you know, shooting disciplines, if you just show up and kind of talk to them cats, they're going to take you under their wing. I will date myself, you know, when I first started this thing, way back in the 90s, you know, shooting USPSA, Kyle Lamb was the guy that I ran into, you know, and it was like, hey, you know, kind of saw him out there. Kyle, hey, what's going on? Hey, what's up? What are you doing? You know, here I'm out there with my, nylon Eagle leg holster. Cause
hell yeah.
Right. I'm Joe and I want to train to get better. You know, what do I know? But then as you start getting into this thing, you know, you start seeing some of the speed rigs and competition rigs and all this other stuff. And you go, yeah, man, I want to get a little better because I'm past the Eagle leg holster. You know, I want to do ramp the game up, and I want to get out of this single stack 45 and go something, you know, have some more bullets in there. So I'm not changing mags all the time. And but yeah,
but there's something about competition, and if there's something about it, competing against other people and competing against yourself. Sure. Whether that's I'm going on a ruck and I want to beat my time the week before, I want to go farther. Mm-hmm. But now with the shooting thing, I'm like, oh, I'm all in. I got to compete against other people. I sucked last weekend, but I wasn't there to do anything except familiarize.
But don't say you sucked, right? Because again, we're all going to, if you want to say suck at whatever, it's just you're figuring stuff out, right? Because when it comes to shooting matches, you can get down to the weeds if you think about. Typically, we want to shoot stuff left to right because that's easy, right? There's times you've got to shoot right to left. Why? Because if I've got to move in a certain direction, it's easier for me to shoot right to left because now I'm set up. Once I fire that last shot, I'm rolling out of that box, getting into the next position. So it changes your dynamics on what you're doing. And that's kind of the stuff to me that it's really, am I practicing moving from spot to spot? Hey, how many steps does it take for me to go here to there, step in this box, be set, ready to shoot? Hey, as soon as that foot's in there, hopefully, boom, it plants. I can get that round off. The other one settles, boom, and we're doing something. So, I mean, there's so much just in that mere footwork and getting yourself set up to shoot matches that you're not normally going to do when you're just sitting there doing your dry fire training. So it's a whole nother level of training, in my opinion, when you're looking at shooting matches.
I agree.
Let me ask you something, Jason, since this is your first, I've only entered two shooting competitions. And I had a blast, but with you just having this recent experience, are you looking forward to the next match, or did you immediately look forward to the process of taking what you did and seeing how you can change it to make it better? Which came to your mind first as soon as you left there?
Before I even left there, I thought about improvement. I already was already going in my mind the after action. Okay, I need to do this, 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 and that in order to do it better. First thing is rushing. You know, I am so used to the law enforcement world where it's, I need to get rounds on target as quick as possible, and I'm really not too worried about pattern. Now I'm thinking about, okay, I need to get rounds on target, thinking about location of those rounds. Mm-hmm. As soon as I got home that night, I went and I looked for other matches to sign up for, knowing that it's going to give me some time. I'm going to have at least a week to 2 weeks to practice. And then I said, okay, now I got to find out. I'm going to go to another range. I need to shoot. I need to get to the range and shoot some more targets. But now I have a plan. So when I get to the range, I know what to expect to prepare for the next match. But now I sign up for a steel challenge, which is steel plates. And I'm doing that this weekend. So now I know, I've been watching a ton of videos on it. I'm going to get my paper plates. I'm going to go to the range and I'm going to set them up like the targets they are. So in order, I'm doing my research, knowing that I'm going to be shooting another thing. But now that I've done a competition, it's just another competition. So that nervousness or that hesitancy is out the door. Mm-hmm.
But what you're going to find too, Jason, right, is just remember this. Man, and I date myself. I wish I would have recorded people back in the 90s, recording people, right? So you had them big, stupid, you know, VHS things, right?
Oh, yeah.
But we would record our matches. Why? Because, again, we want to see what we're doing. And I would encourage people, especially this day and age with phones, man. I mean, you can record. You should be recording your dry fire session, right? Anytime you're doing live fire, record it. Shooting matches, record it. But you need to make sure that whoever's recording is getting the most advantageous spots to see the maximum amount of stuff. So if you're just looking for kind of like this above the waist, cool guy action stuff for the IG, dude, you're missing the mark, man. You've got to get the full body, in my opinion. Hey, what are the feet doing? Am I stutter stepping? Am I being as efficient with my feet? I mean, so much more opens up when you go to shoot matches that people don't think about. But if I'm never capturing it, or if the person that's videoing isn't capturing it for me, I kind of lose some things in there.
I've got the full cool guy IG post, but I also, I did have someone filming me while I was there, which was nice. That's the other things. I didn't know anybody went out there, and I was like, hey, can you take a video? And boom. And they got the whole ugly mess that was me shuffling around. And that's the other thing to work on is speed. So my workout tomorrow morning, I typically, when I'm training for the week, it'll be a bike, a ruck, an Orange Theory or something like that. And tomorrow was so I did a ruck. Today was a bike. Tomorrow I'm doing speed work in the morning with my son. And then the next day I'll just throw in an Orange Theory. And then the next day I'll be ruck and stuff, so on. But it's speed work. And that's the other thing, is planning for the next one is speed work. It's just getting my feet used to moving with 10, 20 feet of just quick movements. Not worrying about long distance. You're never going to see my ass running marathons.
But you've got to set it up, right? So ideally, if you can get your boxes out there, whether you opt to use caution tape, PVC, it doesn't matter, right? How do you move from box to box? That's the key thing. It's one thing to go, hey, I'm moving here, but am I taking a big enough step to get in that box so that I'm not causing myself a penalty, you know, where I'm too close, too far, stepping in, boom, other foot's in there and just work. I mean, just that mere piece of running and even just presenting your hands just to get that piece of going, hey, this is how we blend it together. And people will look at you like, who is this dope with boxes and arms pointing and Yeah, buddy. Don't worry about it.
Let's get something right out of there. All three of us are saying all the time about these people looking at us. Who cares? Mm-hmm. The only thing about getting old is like, you are right, crazy. We've all seen Ricard run around with those Ranger panties on. And I didn't even want to know what Mark's wearing to where the people's gym. I don't know.
Banana hammock.
Yeah, they can see me coming a mile away. Yeah.
I've heard it's all over the internet.
But isn't that what we're talking about? You know, because I guarantee that you're keeping track on your rucks and your bikes. You're keeping track of your time and distances. Isn't that what we're talking about? Focusing on the process. You don't win the match just when you go out there and compete. You win it with all that silly stuff that we're talking about that you've done in the last 2 weeks. That's when you win the match. Yeah. Putting in that extra effort and that attention to detail and diving into that minutia. And to me, it's the tiny goals and gains that you get when you're by yourself and no one's looking. Those are the ones I'm looking for. Those are the ones that impress me the most. Oh my gosh, I did that 5 seconds faster. I did that 5 seconds faster. Mm-hmm. Now, can I do it again? Right? So just, you know, the process is where it's at, not necessarily the outcome.
Yeah.
So when are we going to do the Romeo Charlie shooting team? I got to come out where you got. Well, we all got to meet someone.
First, we need to
we got to have jerseys. Right.
We got to have shirts. We have to have shirts.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Get the bowling shirts. Not like these tight, you know, the pullover. I want a button down old school bowling shirt.
I don't
Hard Knocks, School of Hard Knocks or something. Hard Knocks, you know.
Sure. Sure. You'd have to just find, you got to find something that's good embroidery, right? Because again, part of it is when you're out there and you've got these shooting shirts, some of these companies out there will do phenomenal work. Why? Because you're just launching logos and they're just, poof. You get Hawaiian, Brian, but here would be the thing, right? It might look a little gaudy having your Hawaiian shirt, but then think about it. Depending on your color scheme, you'd have to have like a big patch.
Yeah.
You know, for On the Range podcast, the Protectors podcast, you know.
I can Romeo do, hey, you know what? With my drop shipping, I can make the baseball jerseys easily. I haven't looked at the Hawaiian ones or anything else like that. You know what I did for SHOT Show is I actually got a Dickies auto shirt. I didn't wear it, but I got
those are awesome. Yeah.
But I had the Protectors patch put on it.
Like the old shop shirts.
The shop shirts are awesome.
Did you get your name in the cursive writing on there?
Dr. Jason Piccolo. There we go. That's perfect.
Dude, we've got to go with the jumpsuit, with the Top Gun jumpsuit. Dude.
Oh, yeah. You know how badass that would be?
Oh.
Well, hang on. The flight suit, though, I mean, that's – we're kind of talking apples and oranges a little bit, right? Are we talking a flight suit or are we talking like a jumpsuit, like the old mechanics –
Michael Myers jumpsuit.
When I was artillery, I had the Nomad suit, and it had the little zipper, so you can go right anywhere you want, ammo box or anything.
How about the old Adidas sweatpants that had the buttons, you know, like Larry Bird used to wear? Just boom, just pull one.
Damn, Romeo Charlie at the range. We practice this one.
Bam. Be like, watch this. Yeah. 1, 2, 3.
No one's going to tell me those are stupid. Yeah.
They're not stupid. That's going to be the most badass thing ever. You know what? We have to have our own style. You know, look at us. We got t-shirts and hats. All these podcast guys have t-shirts and hats. We got to start wearing some cool. We should come on a show with jumpsuits on or something.
But then I have to figure out how to get the mic to get me in a full body. You know?
Yeah.
Dude, yeah.
I'll slap my flight suit on. I don't care, man.
I've got my Nomad suit around here somewhere.
Yeah.
You still have your flight suit?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
That was the thing. That was the thing back in the day.
That's historical nostalgia right there, man.
I have my Nomad suit, first cab, with my Specialist Piccolo on there.
Specialist Piccolo.
E4 Mafia.
I didn't have no fancy. Didn't have no fancy rank on mine. Just a couple of flags on the side there and be like, yep, here we go.
With a big cowboy hat.
Yeah.
Well,
that's what we need, cowboy.
Navy SEALs here to get you out.
Well, gentlemen, I think we've kind of went down a different rabbit hole. But before we get going tonight, anybody out there have any, questions or comments? I have one, and I think Mark just brought it up, is use the old pen and paper. Or if you're one of these newfangled generations, you could write it on your phone or anything else.
Yeah.
You could, but here's the thing that I like with the phone. See that stupid thing there? Well, where's my boom? Mm-hmm. Use your cameras to record what you're doing, right? I think that's the key part. Because it's one thing to annotate, hey, this is what my range session is, right? Because what you can find is, even if you're, you know, putting your data down on your phone, you're going to have some issues, in my opinion. And here's why. Because what I like to do, let's say I'm out doing my live fire session. If I'm doing my dry, it's just set to the par time, so I know if I'm hitting my par time or not. But when I'm doing my live fire session, let's say, for example, I'm doing my draw to first shot, right? Boom. I can do my draw to first shot. It's still recording. It's recording the action. And then I just say whatever the time is. So now when I go back to review, I've got my notebook, because then I can annotate, hey, if I was going to do 10 draw to first shots, I don't have to stop between each one, annotate that on the range. To me, that's just wasting precious time, right? Mm-hmm. Now when I come back to watch the film, I can go, oh, cool. 1251, 191, 111, whatever it is, but I can make some notes to go, oh yeah, you fumbled that one because you did X or whatever the case may be. So to me, it's just, that's the nice thing of having it recording. And then that's the other thing. I don't know that I could sit there, watch the video, bail out of the video, go back into my training log, annotate it down. To me, that's just, it doesn't come across to me as being as efficient as I could as pen to paper. So,
yeah. If you're a training buddy or an instructor too, we use them all the time on the range, Rick and I. You can explain all you want, but you show a guy what he's doing and you see that little dip right before he breaks that shot and you show it to him, man, it's powerful. It's powerful.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is I'm staring at a GoPro right now. I've got the, we all have these stands for cameras. So maybe next time, let's bring my, I did order a little cart. That's one thing less learned, is to have a cart to drag all my crap around with me. And then,
old radio flyer.
I got something exactly like it. But I did see these cool cameras for your hat, and I was like,
Oh, yeah. Well, GoPro has a mount for your ball cap.
Yeah.
It's like $5. That works good, too.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's cool. But you're going to kind of get your view on the match, which, okay. To me, I always wanted to see what I was doing, what my added movements potentially, or what my inefficiency was. Hey, did I bumble that mag change? Could I have done this? And it gives you a chance to look at the stage. I'm not saying you can't wear one on your hat, but
let's just say this. When I saw the recordings of me this weekend, in my mind, I was moving a lot faster than what I was on that video. I was like, oh, my legs are really slow. So you're right. Get the full perspective. You could have, as long as you have two views, you could do the helmet cam for the for the badass, you know, IG posts. But when it comes to the, it's really a good idea to get the overall of how you're moving and the movements. Definitely break them down. Well, gentlemen, I do appreciate having you all, or we're having each other. It's a roundabout. We got to talk about training. We got to plan it for training. We got to talk about Rick and you and running around with your weird workout outfits on. We got to talk about Storm for a little while. And we're looking forward to next week's show.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, man. It's going to be another good one.
Oh, we didn't have a reality check tonight. Rick, what's our reality check?
The reality check is with one of these. And then obviously for the, and Mark has, I believe, the Desert Storm
version. Yeah. Oh, look at that.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That's actually something from our friend who was there with us, by the way.
Yep.
And you can get that at EaglesandAngelsLTD.com.
Mm-hmm.
Just type in Rick Hall, it'll pop up.
Oh. Yeah, I think those are all sold out, though. But
it's not for sale. Don't even ask.
That's a collector's edition right there.
It is a collector's edition. You know, yeah.
But Jason, you ought to do a vlog. Do a vlog of your next trip. Edit that bad boy up. Throw that out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what, everybody? I do have a Substack right now where I do a vlog called a Protagonist Log every night. I'll do one tonight. And I typically have my workouts in there and everything I've learned that day. Well, not everything, because I always learning. But yeah, I'm going to do a, I'll do a video vlog. I did one for last weekend shooting. I put the moto video up there of me shooting around like, ch-ch-ch. But I will put in like what to expect when you get to the range.
Yeah.
Well, and when I do a range day, I'll put, hey, this is how I'm training. So if you go to Substack, Dr. Jason Piccolo, you'll see me. If you want to subscribe to it, just shoot me an email. I'll get you on a list. It's free. I do charge $110 to Rick and to Mark, but that's just friends and family discount.
As I would expect nothing less. I mean, I don't know why. Now you tell me it's $110. I've been paying you $220, so it's like a price break.
He's been picking up. He's been picking up my fee.
Okay, everybody. Hey, oh, thanks, man. Again, guys.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.